Sports Radio and Saving Dogs, all in a good day's work. It's Carpenter and Rothman.
Carpenter and Rothman, Anthony Rothman, Bobby Carpenter, ESPN college football analyst. He is the man. He is Rod Gilmore, and he takes a few minutes with us on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Rod, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, Anthony, Bobby, how you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic, right? We couldn't be doing any better. This has been a dream start for Ohio State football. They are rolling teams that they should roll. Even when we thought they might have some difficulty, possibly going to Lincoln at night, facing Sparty that had statistically a good defense. I mean, they have rolled everybody. So I'll ask this question to you. Do you think Wisconsin got found out against Illinois? Were they overrated? Or do you think this now gets thrown in the category of a trap game for Ohio State?
Well, I mean, I think it's a little bit of a trap game because of the fact that Wisconsin, you know, lost to Illinois. You can't help but react and think, man, weren't they overrated? You know, I mean, their schedule was suspect before that anyway. So It's really about the mentality of the Ohio State players. Do they allow themselves to look at the Illinois game and go, yeah, these guys, you know, we got this? Or do they continue to be focused and play to their standard? And to me, that's been the most remarkable thing about what the Buckeyes have done. They've played at a high level, their standard, each and every week. You think about some of the other top teams, Clemson, Alabama, and whatnot, they've been up and down, you know, and sometimes playing to the level of their opponent. And to me, the most impressive thing about Ohio State is, like, they started the year saying, this is our standard, we're going to play to it every week, and they have.
You know, so you mentioned Alabama and Clemson, you've been a little bit up and down. I mean, for your money, who, just watching to this point thus far, I mean, who would you say has been the most impressive team in the country? And if it's Ohio State, then maybe the second.
Well, I think, I mean, let's, for a moment, let's think about what the committee would do. I think the committee would say, based on wins, LSU would be the number one team. They probably have the most top 25 wins, which is a huge factor for the committee early on. I think the committee starts to look more at the eye test the later they get into the season. But I think initially they look at who's got the most top 25 wins, and LSU has a couple. So I tend to agree with that at this point in the season. I think the eye test would also say it's LSU, Ohio State, pick your order. But because of the wins, top 25 wins, I would put LSU one. I put Ohio State two. I think most people who put Alabama and Clemson at one or two are doing it not based on their performance this year, but based on history and based on their expectation that at the end of the year, those two will be there.
Rod, I know we're a long way from this, and I'll just ask you to just hypothesize, because that's what we do, and that's maybe the fun of it, is trying to predict this stuff, is that, you know, I have no real confidence. I don't think Bobby does either in Georgia anymore. But what? Let's do the what-if game. I mean, if Bama beats LSU at home, if Tua comes back and they beat LSU at home and they go to the SEC title game, but somehow Georgia wins out and they beat Bama in the SEC title game, and the committee has to take the SEC champ, right? They have to take Georgia. Then the debate over, wow, depending on what happens elsewhere, we could still consider Bama a one-loss team that would have lost an SEC title game? Or do you believe now, that you are you confident that only one SEC team is probably getting in?
That's a scenario we had a couple years ago, right? Bama lost a championship game, and they still got in. And I think they got in because the coaches on the committee felt like, looking at Alabama, eye test again, that that was the most talented team out there. And in the end, Bama proved that was the case. Right now, I had Georgia last week, and I'm worried about Georgia. I think they're great on defense. I like Fromm at quarterback. I think their offensive line is fantastic. And DeAndre Swift is an outstanding running back, and he basically carried that team by himself last week against Kentucky. But they struggle on the outside. They're really struggling at the wide receiver spot. And I don't know that they can beat Alabama, or, you know, I'm not sure they can beat Florida if they don't get more production from their wide receivers. So that's the real issue for them. I don't believe we're going to get two teams from one conference in the playoff this year. I think there's been so much rhetoric about it from commissioners and others that the committee is very, very much aware of the fact that folks are, you know, talking about tweaking it and making the conference champ a bigger factor. And I think the only way we're going to get a second team out of one conference is that team is so overwhelmingly better than everybody else that you have to put them in. And thus far through the season, I mean, I don't see that. Once you get away from LSU and Ohio State, it's hard to say another team is overwhelmingly good. I mean, do you guys see somebody
else?
Well,
here's the scenario. LSU goes to Bama and beats them, but then loses to Georgia in an SEC title game. Then LSU, their resume will not only be beating Texas on the road and beating Florida and beating Bama on the road, and then all those wins plus maybe a close loss to Georgia in an SEC title game, and then you got a problem, maybe.
I don't know. Look what you put up on the board. Let's say Oregon wins out. You've got a Pac-12 champ with one loss to an Auburn team that, let's, for the sake of argument, say that that's a 10-2 team or 9-3. They're going to be a top 25 team. That's their only loss. Let's say Oklahoma runs the table. They're undefeated. When you start talking about taking that second team out of the SEC, which conference champ are you going to leave out when they have one loss and if they've got a strong strength of schedule? That becomes a problem. You know, only four going in and there are five conference champs. And, you know, the committee's had it easy the last couple of years because the champ out of the Pac-12 has had a weak schedule or multiple losses. And the champ out of the Big 10 has had a similar problem. But if you don't have that issue this year, if you got a one-loss Oregon team losing to Auburn, you got an Oklahoma team that's undefeated, you can't keep those two out.
So you mentioned Clemson. They've struggled a little bit this year, Rod. I mean, are you – I guess how concerned are you with some of their offensive struggles, and especially at the quarterback position where – they just necessarily haven't looked as good as they did last year. I mean, do you think that's just a little growing pains, or is there something more systemic that you've seen that could be an issue that they might not be able to overcome against quality teams?
I just think it's kind of a hangover. You guys know how hard it is, you know, one, to win, and how much harder it is to win a second time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard to have that same kind of drive and focus in the off season. You know, you just want to get to the end of it so you can get to the real stuff because, you know, you're climbing the mountain again. I suspect that's a little bit of it with them, and particularly with Trevor Lawrence. You know, he was, I'm sure, fed it all off season with all the food and the pats on the back and everything and whatnot. And who knows if he's – I mean, we don't know. We don't know if he's put the same amount of time in. We just don't know what's going on. But clearly – he's not playing as well, not nearly as well as he played last season. And I always look at that as preparation. But I don't know if his preparation has fallen off. That would be my guess, but I don't know. But, yeah, I'm not worried about Clemson losing in the ACC. No one can really challenge them. I just don't know that they're sharp enough or that they will get sharp enough to win the national championship.
He's Rod Gilmore, ESPN college football analyst, with us here on Carpenter and Rothman. He's on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Rod, we did a little bit on Harbaugh this year, and I never dreamed, and I'm sure you probably didn't, that he would ever leave Michigan not on his own terms. And I don't know if that ever happens or if it just kind of morphs into that. But I would ask you this. You think he's dangerously close if he loses to Ohio State this year of them wanting to try to find a replacement for him, that's a real thought process that would be going on at Michigan?
No, I really don't. I think that when they brought Jim in there, it was a long-term play. And I think while we on the outside look at it, we scratch our heads and we go, you know, kind of what's going on. I don't get the sense from what, you know, a little bit I know that internally he's getting the same kind of heat and pressure as he's getting from, you know, media and fans. I don't think there's going to be an effort to push him out anytime soon. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that buyout is pretty high too.
It's not as high as you may think. We kind of looked it up. It's right in the $12 million range. His last 2 years of his contract after this kind of go down. I guess it scales to six and change or something like that. So, I mean, it's all relative. Go ahead.
Think about that. But think about that statement. We got a public school that would pay $12 million to get rid of a coach and some additional money for his staff, probably another, $3 or $4 million. And we're thinking these days, that's not so bad.
Well, yeah, it's funny to think that way. But if you're paying $7.5 million for something and you're getting not even close to the value of what you're paying, then you kind of feel like you're throwing good money after bad anyway, though. Like, I understand what you're saying. He's an alum. He's a proud alum. They paid him all this money. They thought he was going to get Ohio State at some point here and get them to a place where they could feel where they could turn back the clock a little bit. But
but step back for a moment. It's not like they're not competitive, and it's not like they aren't winning games. I mean, he's won 10 games, the last couple of years or so, or something like that. If they were a 500 team or losing record, I can get that. But we're measuring him against two things. We're measuring him against winning a national championship, and we're measuring him against beating Ohio State.
Yeah. He hasn't done either one, and they're paying him the money to do it.
Right. And he's not the first Michigan coach who's had trouble with Ohio State, you know?
Yeah. It's an incredible conversation, Rod, and I think as we go through this year, and we'll get there. I mean, he's going to get Ohio State at home, not against Urban Meyer, against Ryan Day. And Ohio State, we all believe, will be undefeated on that day. And it could set up for one of the, either his greatest triumph or the end of his weird tenure at Michigan. I think both would be in play.
The one caveat I will say about that is if he gets run by Ohio State this year like he did last year, I think a lot of folks will get concerned around Michigan.
No doubt. Rod, great stuff. We really appreciate you hopping on with us. Can't wait to have you back. Thanks for making the time.
Hey, always great to chat with you guys. Take care. Have a great week.